friends, have you heard this quote by Johan Boyer? It goes like this. If you came back, you wanted to leave again. If you went away, you longed to come back. Wherever you were, you could hear the call of the herdsman's horn far away in the hills. You had one home out there and one over here, and yet you were an alien in both places. Your true abiding place was the vision of something very far off, and your soul, like the waves, always restless and forever in motion. Does that resonate with you the way it does with me? As MKs, I think the concept of home is something incredibly intimate and just as elusive. So I wanted to wade today into what has helped me to figure out my relationship with the word home, with the concept of homeness, which is similar but different, and with that complicated notion we call belonging. Just so you know, there's a bonus feature in the written version of this episode on my website, the video of a song that is not included here. It features photography submitted by MKs from around the globe, and it's the closest I've ever come to defining what home is for nomads like me. Head over to my blog at michellephoenix.com to view it, or just click the link in this episode's notes. So, without further delay, this is Home and Six Forms of Belonging. There are two words in the English language that are particularly complicated for the MK to process. One is home, the other is belonging. For the highly mobile, multicultural MK, Merriam-Webster's definition of home as one's place of residence, a familiar or usual setting, can set off a domino effect of angst. What if we don't have a singular place that is central to our lives? What if our residence has changed every year for the entirety of our childhoods? What if our roots span too many oceans and continents to yield any sort of helpful triangulation? The term belonging is equally complex for us. Cambridge Dictionary defines it as a feeling of being happy or comfortable as part of a group and having a good relationship with the other members because they welcome you and accept you. Sounds wonderful, right? And it is. Yet, to the third culture person whose groups are highly diverse and far-flung, belonging feels like that elusive savor we may have tasted, but fear will never replicate. I've written about belonging before, outlining the general responses most MKs have to what I call unbelonging, and you can find a link to that article in the episode's notes. I've touched on the topic of home before as well, but I think considering both together might offer some helpful additional framework to my readers and listeners who have been trying to find clarity despite the complexity of our personal histories. So, let's begin with home. I'm not sure there's another people group on Earth that relates to home in as complicated a way as the third culture community does. Home is kaleidoscopic for us. The savors, smells, sounds, textures, and lifestyles of our past, they hum like static in the background of our present. We live in a perpetual state of nostalgia. Those places that have crawled inside our consciousness, the languages that have told our stories, the cultures that have rippled around and through us, the remembered agony of imposed goodbyes and mandated transitions, they are anchored to our DNA and embedded in our cells. And they are home, but they're not a single space. As Tolkien said, we feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread. Home for us is mixed and muddled and meaningful in its indescribable, life-defining sense of identity. Sometimes it buoys and charms us, sometimes it challenges and bruises us, and sometimes it reminds us that we can't return again. The pain of that discovery can be a visceral ache. Whatever its manifestation, we all, to some degree, carry the blessing and burden of our previous planets as we dwell between past and future. Some of us try to silence or ignore the melancholy longings for an us-shaped, soul-familiar place. Others let the yearnings drain the color from the newest sphere we've entered. Most of us, at some point, feel the tension between home and belonging, understanding that they're typically co-joined, but realizing also that with the nomadic nature of our lives, we may need to pursue the one without the symmetry of the other. While home is most simply defined as a significant place of formative bonding and shelter, belonging is the sense of wholeness and likeness we might find in that place. We've likely known some kind of home, often in mosaical form, its pieces welded together from a collection of places and experiences. But so often, we struggle to define and discover the sturdy and lasting belonging we seek. How can an MK find or even recognize that stable, intimate, and life-giving form of connection when we may not have experienced it in an enduring way during our mobile years? Even if and when we do find it, belonging will remain an individual notion, customized to each personality and life trajectory. It will also remain a flexible concept, as whichever form of belonging we choose in one season may not be the one we carry into the next. I'd like to briefly explore six of the major incarnations of belonging that I've witnessed in the MKs I serve. Each comes with distinct pluses and minuses attached to it. None is without challenge. Each also, in some way, meets our deeply human, intrinsic need for the kind of homeness that makes us feel welcomed, valued, relevant, useful, validated, and hemmed. So these are six common forms of belonging among MKs. Nuclear belonging. In their youth, some MKs will center their sense of belonging in their nuclear family. That's those who are fortunate enough to find their most trustworthy source of love and attention and meaning among parents and siblings. They'll declare that homeness exists wherever mom and dad are, where each member of the family contributes to forming a self-sufficient unit, intensely bonded and devoted. Those children know that though the world around them will inevitably and continuously change, their family's fabric is both sturdy and elastic enough that the vagaries of life and ministry will not destroy it. Kindred belonging. Other MKs will find belonging in a subculture of kindred spirits. MK schools are a prime example of this. How many of us have found a comforting form of sameness in these spaces where our backgrounds may be different, but the way those backgrounds shape and inform us is a powerful shared trait. That connection to others whose lives have been as rich in cultural inputs and experiences as ours is something we may continue to pursue in our adult years, seeking community with people who have lived between worlds as we have, and whose perspectives are as broad and nuanced as our own. Diverse belonging. In contradiction to kindred belonging, I found that some MKs begin to find a sense of self in pursuing difference rather than similarity. In this case, belonging will feel like the variety they knew while growing up between worlds, between the colors, cadences, and curiosities that charmed and challenged them. There will be something familiar, something they recognize and identify with, in circles where there are few people who resemble them, and they will derive such energy from navigating those waters. These are the MKs who spend their lives moving from new environment to new environment because they feel such profound homeness in places where they're outsiders. Activist belonging. The intense drive and purpose of our formative years will lead some of us into social spaces where we feel a similar kind of energy, a communal laser focus on addressing a serious concern together. Because so many MKs are desperate not just for community, but for intense belonging in a community, they're prone to search for it in circles that are militant or marginalized because the fervor of activism feels so familiar and galvanizing. I'll note that these MKs in search of a tight and focused social embrace might leap into the deep end of a new community without always assessing what they're getting themselves into. And once they're in, even if there are reasons to second-guess their decision, the sense of belonging they find there might feel so good that they won't follow an impetus to step back out again. Relational belonging. Other MKs won't truly experience home until they find it in a stable, bilateral, committed relationship, like marriage or something similar. It's my suspicion that this is often a factor in MKs who choose to marry early. They see the future as a place where belonging may be difficult to find and prefer to quickly latch their lives onto a known and loved entity rather than risk floundering in their pursuit of something that could prove less dependable. And finally, internal belonging. This is the incarnation of belonging I've found most helpful as I've navigated life between worlds. With internal belonging, the quest for an external sense of homeness becomes less of a preoccupation because we realize that the places and people that formed us are an active, living force we carry within ourselves, not something we need to reproduce in our current context or in the years ahead of us. Our many homes are planted in our spirits, informing our understanding of life and the world, offering an internal sense of belonging even when its external form is difficult to find. Though internal belonging is by nature less connective than other forms of integration, it can be a helpful alternative if we reside in circles where external belonging isn't possible or isn't yet possible. It can calm the dissonance we feel when parts of our identity are shadowed and remind us of the precious, multifaceted homeness our mobile lives have offered us. It's also the theme of the video you'll find with the article this episode is based on. There are likely other variations on belonging among MKs and TCKs, but these are the ones I encounter most frequently. If you have the time for some introspection, I encourage you to consider what I've outlined here and determine which variation is the most present in your life, and then contemplate what its advantages and disadvantages might be so you can thoughtfully manage its helpful and less helpful side effects. Our natural search for belonging and homeness is so complicated, so dizzying, and in many cases, unsatisfying. But can I be honest? Until I recognized the spiritual reality of home and belonging, I consistently struck out in finding that profound sense of, as I mentioned before, being welcomed, valued, relevant, useful, validated, and hemmed. It's in beginning to view my relationship to God as my home that I found a bit of an answer to the complexity and grief of my homelessness and unbelonging. By digging deep into what's in God's heart for me, comfort, joy, hope, direction, goodness, truth, I've learned to center that in my daily reality, and in doing so, have found a constancy that transcends time zones and cultures. I know that faith can be just as complicated as homeness to so many MKs. Not all of us walk away from our experiences with an intact faith. But if we can pitch our nomad's tent on the unchanging foundation of who God is, how he sees us, and what he wants for us, perhaps then the lostness that is so often associated with a TCK's mobility can find solace. If we can set our goals according to His heart and find fulfillment in cultivating His benevolent intentions, the kaleidoscope of our past will find a present and future purpose that doesn't require a constant redefining of home. Will I still feel loss when I remember my past communities? Of course I will. Will I still crave familiarity and connection to the places I once knew? Without a doubt. The hunger for home and belonging is human, universal, and good. Being wrapped in God's presence and inspired by His heart doesn't eliminate the yearning, but it soothes and redirects its sting. And it grants global nomads like me the mobile stability of soul intimacy. Thank you so much, friends, for taking the time to listen in today. My prayer as I release this episode into the world is that we can all recognize the homes that shaped us and find a form of belonging that restores us. If this content has been beneficial to you, you may want to check out the rest of the Pondering Purple episodes going all the way back to January 2020, and then maybe share them with others who would find them useful too. Make sure you click on this episode's notes for links to the resources I've mentioned here, as well as to the article the episode is based on and the video I told you about earlier. And please leave a comment anywhere the podcast and article are posted, my website, social media, or the platform you listen on. This is a conversation, and I want to hear from you. As I wrap up this recording today, I want you to know that I celebrate the purple you are, or the purple you love. Thank you for listening.